Let me begin this morning by thanking you for being able to come together on the Lord's Day. It's a good day to come together to worship God. That's why we're here. And we're here to remember His Son's death on the cross and sing and pray and study God's Word together. And it's good for us to be able to do that. And I appreciate the invitation to be with the good brethren here at 31W. As Steve mentioned, I guess in the early 2000s, I was here before in a gospel meeting, and I appreciate the confidence that you have in me in coming back, and I've always enjoyed being with the good brethren here. As he mentioned, through the years, I've been here attending gospel meetings. You've always had great gospel meetings, good sound Bible preaching. I always enjoy coming and worshiping with you here at this congregation. I wanted to say that through the years, and I believe especially in the last few years, I've seen growth in this congregation. There have been new individuals who have placed membership. There have been new converts. I think especially in the past few years I've seen that, and that's been encouraging to me. And so I want to thank you for that encouragement. Keep up the good work. Keep talking with your friends and neighbors. I know some of you are talking with coworkers and neighbors and bringing them, and we have visitors this morning. We've had them already, and we appreciate that. And that's one thing that has really impressed me with this congregation. So keep going and growing in the right direction. If you'll turn in your Bibles this morning to Psalm chapter 83, we would like to look at a lesson this morning entitled The Children of Lot. And all of my lessons this week will be posted on my website, thegoodteacher.com. If you would like copies of those lessons or recordings, you can go to the gospel meeting section there and you'll see 31W posted for this week. I know that in our morning class there were a few slides there that we didn't get to, and so if there's ever any more material that you would like to look at, you can get that there. And this morning we want to look at a statement in Psalm 83 and verse 8 concerning the children of Lot. And before we look at this, I just wanted to comment that Steve was saying something about Elma holding me when I was an infant. And that's right. I don't remember that because I was an infant. But we have the 8mm movies to prove it. Can you believe that? Those old 8mm movies. Mom and Dad are panning the living room there. The fall of 1965, Barrett Place in San Antonio, and the Elma and her family were there. They were teenagers and young adults, and the proof is there, you know, holding me as an infant. So we have a dear place in our hearts for Steve's mom and his grandparents, the Revises, and we appreciate them. And let's see at the potluck this afternoon if Elma will hold me again. Let's see if we can do it. I'll jump up in her arms and let's see if she can hold me again. We'll see if that happens. But we appreciate the presence of everyone. And there are actually others. Charlotte is here this morning, and Alice and her family, Alice and Ron, and brethren like that my parents knew when they went to Florida. There are some brethren here that have relationships with us that go way back. And Tall's father and my father did some work in the 70s together. And so I appreciate all of the good brethren here. Steve mentioned something about our children. We've been blessed with four children, and Sherry and I have been blessed, and we have tried our hardest to raise them right. And we're going to talk about some principles this morning of a family that didn't try to serve the Lord right. And we've tried to serve the Lord right, and by God's grace and mercy and love and providence, He's helped us to do that. Plus, our hard work, it takes both. It takes God's providence and parents working hard to raise children right. And I'm encouraged by the families that are here. You are the church of tomorrow, and so our parents and our children and our grandchildren, and we want to be right with God. We're going to look at an example this morning of a family that wasn't right with God and what we need to do to stay away from some of these things that are out in the world. So we're going to use a negative example to hopefully learn some positive things this morning. But Sharon and I have been blessed with four children, and we've tried to raise them on biblical principles. We've tried to raise them right. We've tried to follow the things that we're talking about this morning. And it's difficult. It's challenging. It's hard sometimes. And good godly parenting is not for the faint of heart. It takes some work, but I've lived long enough to see the fruits and the reward of that. And I'm here to tell you that if you'll raise your children and have marriages and children based upon these principles that we're looking at this morning, it will work out well. The Lord promises us that in His Word, but we have to follow His Word and trust His Word. Our oldest daughter is very active in the local congregation where she's at, and she's married a fine young Christian who came from a Christian family. See, those are purposeful decisions. You make purposeful decisions to do certain things in a certain way. I'm going to marry a Christian. I'm going to live right. It doesn't come by accident. So she made those decisions and made good decisions, and you can do the same as well. Our three boys are active in the congregation, and Mason and Jake, they preach some. They do all of the things in the congregation, and Carlin is coming along doing those things. They've all been baptized into Christ. That's not to brag. That's to say that we're trying to follow biblical principles, and we're trying to do what God says. We're not perfect. I've made my share of mistakes. I've got things that I could still work on. I'm not perfect by any means, but Sherry and I are trying to raise our children and have a marriage based upon God's Word. We're trying to look at some of these things that we're looking at this morning and follow them, and I believe that we see the fruits of God's Word in our life, and you can see the same in your life. And I see that among you here today, and I want that for all of us. I was reading some time back in Psalms, and I was reading in Psalm 83, and I was reading verse 8 that mentioned the children of Lot. And I thought that was kind of interesting. It's just a few times in the Old Testament where we have this phrase, the children of Lot. And what it is, Psalm 83, the psalmist is praying to God that he would punish the enemies of Israel. And starting in verse 6, there's different enemies that live right around the nation of Israel, the Edomites, the Ishmaelites, Moab, and the Hagarenes, and Gebal, and Ammon, and Amalek, and Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot. So Israel has these enemies around her, these nations, and that psalmist is saying, God, praying to God, God, would you help us with these enemies? Will you punish them? And I got to thinking about this statement, the children of Lot. Who in the world are the children of Lot? Who are they? Well, if you back up to verse 6, Moab is mentioned there. And then verse 7, Ammon is mentioned there. The children of Lot are these Moabites and Ammonites that were just mentioned in verses 6 and 7. But then that raises the question, how did they come about? Who are these children of Lot? How did they come about? Well, we're going to find out in just a minute that it's a very sad and sick story. It's a very sad and sick story, how these children of Lot came about. And so we're going to go back and look at that story and see how it is we get this situation of the Moabites and the Ammonites. Do you know, children are a heritage from the Lord. In Psalm 127 and verse 3, children are a heritage from the Lord. The Lord gives us our children. It's not just some biological function between a father and a mother. It's also, Hebrews 12 tells us, that, and also in the book of Zechariah, that God gives us our spirit. So He plays a part in that as well. But they are a heritage from the Lord, and so we need to give them back to Him. Like I think about Samuel, who was given back to the Lord. We need to raise them responsibly and on God's Word. We're going to be held accountable in the judgment day as parents. God's going to say, I gave you a heritage. How did you deal with that? How did you raise them, you see? And so it's a great thing that we get from God. And so proper training is necessary early on in life. Train up a child. Don't wait till he gets older where the training doesn't work. Train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. I think one mistake that parents make is they wait too late in life. And then they're wringing their hands and they're crying and they're sobbing and, oh, what can we do? But they waited too late. So train up a child in the way that he should go. And those things work out as the Lord says. But we're talking this morning about the children of Lot. Where did the people of Moab and Ammon come from? They came from Lot, a father. Listen carefully. They came from a father having a sexual relationship with his two daughters. Now, does that disgust us? Does that anger us? Yes, it should. That's sick. And that's sinful. And that incestuous relationship, and I'm not going to get graphic, I'm not going to go any more than that, but we know how sick and sinful that is. That's how they came about. Now the question is raised, how do we get to a point where we have a father and two young daughters having a sexual relationship? How do we get to that point? That doesn't happen by accident. You don't just wake up one day and, well, we're going to do that. There is a slow worldly progression. There are steps of worldliness that are taken by the parties involved that lead to that situation. And it's those steps that we want to talk about this morning. How do we get the children of Lot? By taking some worldly steps, a digression, a downward spiral into that situation. And what I want us to learn from that this morning is that if we're not careful, we can find ourselves in the same situation. Not necessarily with a father and two daughters in a sexual relationship, but a downward spiral into a worldly, immoral situation where we've been taken away from God. And we're no longer sitting here worshiping God in this church building. We're no longer reading our Bibles. We're no longer singing praises and taking the Lord's Supper and so forth. We're out in the world and we're gone. We're lost. And so I want us to look at the children of Lot. What can we learn from them? I say they are nameless and they are shameless. And what I mean by that is we don't know the names of those two daughters. We don't know their names. They're nameless, but they're shameless. And it didn't happen by accident. And it's good to see our young people here, our teenagers, those who are preteens and teenagers and those who are getting on up in age, because we're going to say some things this morning about the importance of staying away from worldliness. Worldly pressures are everywhere. They are everywhere. We're going to talk about alcohol in just a moment. Yesterday, I was in a store. My son Jake and I were in a store and I was waiting for him. And there were four songs on the radio in a row. All four of them mentioned alcohol and all of the things going on with alcohol. All four of them in a row. And one of them, the female singer was saying, "I can't wait till the whiskey kicks in." They know that it alters you. They know that it changes you. And they're waiting for it to kick in and do its work, you see. We are surrounded by worldliness, and so was Lot and his family, and that is one of the things that caused this problem. So brethren, when we leave the sanctuary of this church building where nothing but good is being done in here, when we walk out that door, we go back into that situation. We can either work to keep it out of our lives or we just let it in like Lot did, just let it on in, and we have the sad and sinful and sick situations that go on. And so we're trying to avoid that. We want everyone here to go to heaven. We want everyone here to live right and do right and act right. But it's going to take listening to these lessons that we're looking at this morning. I think of Jesus. Remember Lot's wife. That's all we're trying to do. Just remember what happened here so that we can avoid the same situations in our life. And as parents, it's not just for the young people. It's for us as well. Parents and grandparents, we have our role, we have our work, and so let's do what we can so that we can all be in heaven. Well, first of all, how did we get the children of Lot? Well, turn back with me to Psalm chapter 19. Like I said earlier, in Psalm chapter 19, at the very end of the chapter, we have a father having a sexual relationship with his two daughters. And that's what brought about Moab and Ammon. And you sit there in disgust thinking, oh, that is terrible. How could he do that? And how could those two girls do that? And it just sort of boggles our mind that we can get into such a terrible situation. Well, it's the events and the choices and the principles leading up to that that caused that. In Genesis chapter 19 and verse 32, "Come, let us make our father drunk with wine, and we will lie with him," these two daughters are saying. Genesis 19:32, "that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father to drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he knew not." And in the Bible, lay with someone is a euphemism for having a sexual relationship with them. So she had a sexual relationship with her father, and he knew not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the first firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us also make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. How dare that older sister encourage the younger sister to do that? How dare she do that? Can you imagine having a sibling encouraging to do? But that's how bad this situation had gotten. I have some brothers and sisters that would never do that to me. I'm the last of 8 children. They protected me. They watched out for me. My older siblings did. They kept me away from things. But to have an older sibling come and suggest something this immoral is terrible. So we have to understand how we get to this situation. Verse 35, And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him. And he knew not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughter of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as also the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. That's how we get the Moabites and the Ammonites. And as much as we don't like to think about that and sort of visualize that in our mind, how disgusting that is, we've got to come face to face with the truth and the reality. Now, how did it come about? Let's look at that this morning. Number one, these children were raised by parents who made poor choices. Brethren, we as parents and grandparents, if that's a part of our family dynamic now of raising the children, often the grandparents are involved in this modern world. What choices are we making? It starts back with me. Turn back with me to Genesis chapter 13. This story of Lot and his daughters is in a cave. It happened long before the cave. The story begins long before the cave. It begins back in chapter 13 when Abraham and Lot are separating. Their flocks are too big to graze in the land, and so they're separating. And Abraham says to Lot, you choose. And so Genesis 13, verse 10, And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before Jehovah destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of Jehovah, like the land of Egypt, as thou goest unto Zoar. So Lot chose all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners against Jehovah exceedingly. I want to make a choice and look at verse 10. I want the well-watered plain. Don't ask that it's going to put me in a sinful situation. Don't bring up the point that I'm going to be with wicked people. Just look at the beautiful place. Brethren, we're making choices right now that are going to affect the spiritual nature of our children, the eternity, and we have to choose properly. Jesus said, what does it matter if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul now? Lot said, oh, we're going to move, and we don't want to be out in this dusty desert. Let Abraham, I want the well-watered plain of the Jordan. I want to be down there in Sodom and Gomorrah. And they've got homes and cities, and it's a beautiful place to live. Now, that's true. I'm probably going to be dragging my family into a bunch of wickedness and worldliness, but I don't care about that. I just want the beauty of the land. So today, we're making choices. I work more so I can make more money. Now, we're going to miss services. That's right. That's right. But I'm going to have a bigger TV in the living room because, you know, I've got more money. And so I'm working more. And we're not going to read our Bible as much and go to services. Probably won't be at the gospel meeting all week long. Maybe some, maybe not. I'm not sure. But we've got choices. And I'm going to choose those things that benefit me materially and physically and benefit me that way. Now, I'm going to move, and I'm going to have a better job, and I'm going to get more money. Now, it's true there's not a local congregation around where I can worship with. But I'm going to have a better job, and we can have nicer things, you see. He made poor choices. And then he ends up later in a cave with his two daughters having a sexual relationship. It all is about the choices, brethren. Let us make those choices that make us more spiritually minded, that make us stronger in the Lord. Yes, it might mean sacrificing some physical things and some earthly things, but we're going to be close with God in our prayer, our Bible study, our worship with the brethren, and other kinds of things. Yes, we might have to make a cut financially or monetarily or in some physical kind of way, but we're going to go to heaven. Make the right choices. They made poor choices, and that's one thing that led to this problem. Number two, as we just read, look at verse 13. The men of Sodom were wicked exceedingly. They purposely put Lot, put his marriage and his family in the midst of a wicked environment by choice. You know, there's sometimes that you experience wickedness and it's not by your choice. You didn't ask for it. You didn't choose it. One thing that comes to my mind lately is you'll be driving down the road and there'll be billboards. And there might be immodesty up there. Or there might be something that shouldn't be said that's up there. Or an advertisement to something that shouldn't be up there. And you'll see these in South Georgia and in Florida. That's all I'll say about that. Just advertisements about places you shouldn't be going. But it's there. You didn't ask for that, okay? And so when stuff like that comes up, you deal with it, you talk about it. But I'm talking about purposely making choices that put you in situations like that. It's going to negatively affect our family. When you look in the Bible about, just look up in your concordance sometimes, Sodom and Gomorrah, it's always in a negative light. Starting here in Genesis 13, verse 13, and working all the way through. Turn with me to one of these. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 9. Sodom and Gomorrah were not just wicked, they flaunted it. Just like we're seeing in our society today. Our society is throwing in our face homosexuality and transgender things, and we're going to talk about that Thursday night, Lord willing. They're throwing it in our face and daring us to do anything about it. In Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 9, God's people had gotten so bad like Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at it, Isaiah 3, 9. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. God's people had gotten so bad that they're just throwing it out there. Yes, we're sinners. We don't care. And the verse says, they hide it not. We're here. Deal with it. And we're seeing that in our society today. And if you Bible-believing, God-believing people don't like it, just go jump in the lake. We're here to stay. Look at the verse. They hide it not. So it wasn't just that they were wicked. They flaunted it. And they're going to let you know about it. And these men were homosexual. Where do we get the word sodomite? Huh? Where do we get the word sodomy? That's not funny. That is a serious, immoral act. Where do we get those two words? From Sodom. And there are laws still on the books, although that's slowly passing away. There's still sodomite laws on the books. I hope they stay on the books. But that's the word that is used. Straight out of God's word. Jude 7 says they went after strange flesh, which is homosexuality. Each time it is mentioned, it is wickedness. 1 Corinthians 15:33, bad company corrupts good morals. So brethren, if we're not careful with the music that we listen to, the movies that we watch, the friends that we're texting, the friends that we're going out with, and all of that kind of thing, we're going to wake up one day and have our young people lost because we didn't care enough to say, no, you cannot be around that kind of thing. We want you to be around good and wholesome things. It's not just a matter of all or nothing. It's a matter of none of this worldliness and then putting in good and proper and wholesome relationships and friends and things to do. But evil companionships corrupt good morals, period. That's what the Bible states. It's a truth, and you cannot get around it. And that's what we find in the case of Lot. He said, oh, the well-watered plain, this is going to benefit me. I'm going to have a nice place to live. And he loses his wife, and he loses his children because of bad choices and because of a wicked environment. So let's watch that music. Well, what are they doing on their cell phone? Oh, I don't know. I don't ask, you know, I don't look at it, you know, I'm an adult, I don't know how to run those things, and I don't know what they're looking at, I don't know who they're talking to. Well, we need to know, we need to be in the know, and we need to be mindful of those kinds of things and help them, help our children to make good choices and help them to be around those that are going to help them. You know, number three, they had a father who did not show them respect. Turn with me now to Genesis chapter 19. When the angels come to Lot and say, get out of town, I'm going to rain down fire and brimstone. This city is wicked. And they come to Lot and his family. Verse 1. Two angels came to Sodom. The men wanted to have a homosexual relationship with them. How terrible that is. How terrible that is. And that's how wicked Sodom and Gomorrah was. So we come on down now to verse 7. Lot realizes that these men are banging on the door. Bring the men out. We want to know them. That's the Bible's way of saying have a homosexual relationship with them. We want to know them. And Lot says, no, look at verse 7. He said, I pray you, my brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters that have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do unto them as is good in your eyes. Really? Really, here are my two daughters. Just use them like a bunch of property. How shameful for a father to just prostitute out his two daughters like that. Do with them as you see good. It reminds me of the story of the man's servant there in the book of Judges. That was raped on the doorstep, and her hands are on the doorstep trying to get in, and the men are raping her. See, the Bible doesn't cover up sin as much as that kind of, well, Chris is kind of open about, the Bible is open about worldliness and wickedness, and we need to be open about that, that people are like that. So this woman at the end of the book of Judges is just raped and ravished and left half dead. So he's just going to do that to these two girls. Just have your way with them. How terrible a father will not have enough respect for his children to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They're made in the image of God. They're not to be thrown out into the street for a bunch of men to use and abuse, but that's how he felt. They had a father who did not show them respect. I wonder later in the cave if they're thinking, hey, this guy, my dad was going to throw me out in the street with these men. That's how much respect he has for us. Let's show how much respect we have for him. Let's get him drunk. You know they see that. So Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Our children are made in the image of God. Let us raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They are pure souls. They come into this world pure souls. Let's respect them and raise them properly. They are a heritage from God. Let's raise them right. And in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21, let us love them. We're not going to provoke them to wrath. We're not going to just use them and abuse them as objects, but we're going to raise them to be fine young Christians. Let us do that. But Lot wouldn't do that, and no wonder we have this problem. Turn with me now to chapter 19 and verse 12. When these young ladies grow up, we know that at least some of Lot's family, if it weren't the two daughters that were later with him in the cave, it may have been other two daughters, but either way, the point is the same, that he had some sons-in-law. He had some sons-in-law, so he apparently had some daughters that had married some men there in town, but they mocked God's word. When we raise our children, let's raise them to be Christians and marry Christians. I make no apology for that. I'm seeing more and more of where that is not a priority among brethren for some reason. Yes, listen to me carefully. Yes, a Christian marrying a non-Christian, 1 Corinthians 7, 10 through 12, is sanctioned by God. That is a sanctioned marriage. There's nothing illegitimate about that or anything. But why would we purposely go into a situation where we're going to join hands with someone who's not going to help us get to heaven? Why would we do that? So these girls marry men that mocked God's word. And when you're married to someone who mocks God's word, there's a slow wearing on you to where if you don't outright mock God's word, you might just sort of slowly distance yourself from God and His Word and all things that are good. It wears on you. Because you're trying to make your spouse happy. And he doesn't like God. She doesn't like God. So you're trying to make, you're kind of working with that and you sort of soften and slowly become unfaithful. Look at Genesis chapter 19, verse 12. And the men said unto Lot, Have you here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whomsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of the place. For we will destroy this place, because of this, the cry of them is waxed great before Jehovah, and Jehovah hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law. So I know he's got some daughters married to some men, who married his daughters and said, Up, get you out of this place, for Jehovah will destroy the city. But he seemed unto his sons-in-law as one that mocked. Yeah, right. God's going to come and destroy this city. Yeah, right. We're not interested in that. And they don't leave. They don't listen. They don't leave. We need to marry those who are going to respect God and His Word, who are faithful Christians. And if there's not someone like that right around us, we can work to meet other fine young Christians. We know what it did to Solomon. Look at 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 3. His wives turned him away from God. The wisest man in the world, who wrote some of the wisest things about marriage, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, some of the wisest things about marriage at the end of his life, gets taken away from God by his wives. Look at 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 25. Look about how that Ahab and Jezebel, turned Ahab away from God. You see, our spouse can either build us up and make us stronger and get us to heaven and encourage us, or can slowly tear us down and wear us away. And the sons-in-law didn't want to listen to what the angels were saying. So, these are all little things that are adding up to a big picture of immorality. The poor choices, the wicked environment, the father that doesn't show respect for his children, marrying men who mock God's word, and a parent who is disobedient to God's word. What did Lot's wife do? We all know the story. We've taught this in the children's Bible class. When Lot is told to get out, take your wife and your children and get out, but don't look back, right? Don't turn back. Don't look back. And what did Lot's wife do? She looked back, and that's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 17 and verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. So come down with me to verse 17. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. And of course we know when we come on down to verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind, and she became a pillar of salt. I don't want to listen to God's word on this point. She may have been obedient in other ways, but she was not obedient in this one point. And when you have a parent that's not obedient to God's word, you're going to look to them for your example. Well, if mom doesn't have to listen to God's word, and we know what happened to her, she turned into a pillar of salt, maybe I don't either. Maybe I don't either. Maybe I don't have to listen to God's word. And I know that I shouldn't have this relationship with my father. Even the patriarchs knew about a proper relationship within a marriage. We know that from Abraham and others. The patriarchs knew what was right and wrong in these areas. Now it becomes even more definitive in the law of Moses that there was to be no incestuous relationship. But even in the time of the patriarchs, they knew where that was to be confined, starting with Adam and Eve. Adam knew his wife. That's who you're supposed to have a relationship with. They knew that. But maybe they're thinking, well, Mom didn't listen to God's word. Maybe I don't have to either. Yes, parents, we make mistakes, and sometimes it may be disobedient to God's word. And if we do that in front of our children, we need to apologize and say, no, we are wrong. We've got to obey God's word. We've got to be setting the right kinds of examples before our children. We don't want to be Titus 1:16. We don't want to be just holding a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Young people are smart. They know. Well, Mom and Dad go to the 31W church building. Well, they also know that there's problems here and problems there during the week, and maybe they're disobeying over here and but that we go to church building. They see that. And the angel was very clear. Don't look behind you. Is that hard? Is that hard to understand? Don't turn around. Don't look behind you. Very easy. But she chose to disobey. And those children see that. And that can certainly play a factor. And then, we also, it's not just Lot's wife, but Lot himself. Lot had a righteous Lot was righteous. We're told that. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. This is interesting. There was a time in this situation, probably early on, when Lot is described as a righteous person and he's vexed. He's bothered by all of this worldliness around him. But apparently it wore on him so much that even he himself slumps into the same immorality. I'm in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. Peter is talking about how that God judges people, and he judged the sinners in the days of Noah, verse 4 and 5, and he judged Sodom and Gomorrah, verses 6 and 7. Look at verse 7. And delivered righteous Lot. There was a time in which Lot was righteous. There was a time in which Lot was right. I take Peter's word for that. And the text says, dwelling among them, seeing and hearing, vexed, literally tormented, this righteous soul from day to day with their lawless deeds. And it probably was when he first moved into town. This is terrible. This homosexuality is terrible. And other things that are going on in Sodom and Gomorrah, that's terrible. And it vexed his righteous soul. But that wore on him to the point where he's having a relationship with his own two daughters. And so what that tells me is, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. We've got to be very careful. We can be righteous and then down the road become unrighteous. We can be good and then down the road become bad. And so we know about the falling away, 1 Timothy 4 and 1, those who fall away from the faith. And Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11, be careful that we don't fall from our own steadfastness. Peter was talking about a Lot at a time, a Lot who was righteous. But he allowed the worldliness to wear on him and tear on him. And he and his wife slowly stop doing what God wants them to do. And so in 2 Peter chapter 3, 17 and 18, we have to grow. We have to be careful that we're not deceived and we're taken away, falling away and being taken away into those wicked kinds of things. Parents, one of the best things that you have for your children right now and grandparents is your righteous character. Keep obeying the Lord. Keep serving the Lord. Keep being a faithful Christian and don't let up one time. Your young people need you to be that adult righteous example all the way through. Lot did it for a while and then apparently he gave up. And he finds himself in a cave with his two daughters. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, they understood the negative effects of alcohol. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 19. Did you notice in Genesis chapter 19, before the daughters have a sexual relationship with their father, they get him drunk? Why? It's a no-brainer. Alcohol and drugs alter the mind and the body where you do things you shouldn't do. It's a no-brainer. In fact, it was planned. Let us fill him with wine so that he may do such and such. Because listen, in your right mind, you normally would not do that, would you? But if you can be in an altered state, well then, the impossible is doable. They understood that. And where did they get that? Did they get that from the Bible? Did they get that from God's Word? No, they got it from that environment. They saw other people drunk. They saw the use of alcohol in town. I have no doubt about that. They didn't get that from God. They didn't get that idea from Him. What did Noah do in Genesis chapter 9? He comes out. He plants a vineyard and he gets drunk and what? He's passed out naked. You're normally not like that, laying around like that. But that's what alcohol does to you. And we have in our country, as if it's not bad enough, with the various shootings and killings and murders of people who aren't on drugs and alcohol, as if that's not bad enough, we're legalizing marijuana. We're shoving alcohol down people's throats with all of the commercials and all that kind of thing. As if it's not bad enough, now we have people altered on all of these other things. The things that were super popular in the late 60s and early 70s, it's coming back around. And those of you who are old enough to have been in that generation know that marijuana, cocaine, heroin, alcohol, all these kinds of things were big. And then it seems like we went through a little bit of a phase, like the 80s and 90s, where that was sort of, you know, we need to stay, but now it's back again. Things go in cycles. And I know that from Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Now we're back into the cycle where marijuana is the cool thing. So we're getting all of these states on legalized marijuana. Do we really need more people in our nation altered, whose states are altered? Is that what we need? We've got bad enough problems as it is. Alcohol changes people. It does nothing but negative for you. And our young people here, it's all over the music, it's the movies, it's in school, it is everywhere. Drink and have a good time. It will do nothing but bad for your mind, your brain cells, literally it kills, your liver, your kidneys, cancer, drugs, and alcohol. Stay away from those things. But those girls understood that. This is how we can have this with our Father. We can alter His state of mind by getting Him drunk. Hey, if they understand that, why can't we? We refuse to understand it. That's what is happening. And so we keep pushing it in our country. Now we're hearing, drink responsibly. There is no such thing with God's Word. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Amen. That Lot, with what he did with his daughters, that is a mocking, terrible situation. And it's wine that put him in there. Wine is a mocker. And whosoever erreth thereby, you're not going to be bettered for it. You're going to err, and it's going to be nothing but bad for you, is not wise. Turn with me to chapter 23. Proverbs 23:29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath complaining? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? We've seen that in co-workers and other people come in on Monday morning drunk. They that tarry long at wine, they go to seek out mixed wine. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it sparkleth in the cup, when it goeth down smoothly. At last it biteth like a serpent. And that's exactly Lot in the cave with the two girls. Yeah, at last it bites like a serpent. Yep, that's right. And that's where you get the children of Lot, Moab and Ammon. It stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes behold strange things, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. A father with two daughters, is that perverse? Yeah, pretty perverse. And we're seeing perverseness in our nation. We're seeing more and more perverseness in our nation. We'll talk about that Wednesday night. And it's because people are not thinking right, and they're not thinking according to God's Word. So, let us learn the same. And there are several other passages. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Look at it. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is riot. My version says riot. That behavior which is not according to the Word of God. Some versions say dissipation, where you're just acting as if there is no control. They understood it. Why can't we? Stay away from it, people. Stay away from it. And that includes drugs as well, that alter the mind as well. I heard on a 60 Minutes report earlier this year that Ohio is having a major heroin problem. Cocaine, heroin, other kinds of drugs, and alcohol. How are you raising your children? How am I raising our children? Let us, brethren, I'm passionate about the topic, obviously, because I have children. And you have children and grandchildren, you know of those who do. If you don't have your own, you want other children to be saved and go to heaven. We all want our children to be right. But it's going to be making the right kinds of choices, the right kind of environment. We have to raise our children properly. We have to be righteous ourselves. God knew that Abraham, Genesis 18, 19, He knew that Abraham would command his children after him to follow the Word of God. Young Timothy was raised on the Word of God from his mother and his grandmother, 2 Timothy 1, 5 and 3, 15. We've got to keep doing that, and we can have children who live right and act right and do right. But if we just turn them over to the devil and the world, then we see this story that we see in Genesis 19. What choices are you making? What choices am I making? Let us choose to do good. Deuteronomy 13 and verse 19. Let us choose to serve the Lord. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make that choice this morning. Yes, it might mean making some cuts and changes and putting God first again. It might mean coming and obeying the gospel. There's water here. You can have your sins washed away. You can start being right with God. It might be coming back in some kind of way, or it might be the good that you're doing, just recommit to doing that. But it's about choices. Lot did not end up in that cave with those two girls just by accident, just a fluke of chance. It was choices, conscious choices that were made, and that led to sin and wickedness. And in Job 34, in verse 4, Elihu does not, there's a lot of things that Elihu does not say that is right about Job. In fact, right after this verse, he goes right into saying some things that are just inaccurate about Job. But one thing that Elihu said that was right, he said, "Let us choose for us that which is right. Let us know among ourselves what is good." And I want to close with that. Let us choose for us that which is right. And of course, that, of course, is what is in the Word of God. We appreciate your kind attention this morning. The world is all around us. And the world was all around Lot by choice. He did not have to be there. He did not have to end up in that situation. Had he made better choices, there would be no Moabites or Ammonites. But there are. And so they're in God's Word for our admonition to learn. And I'll be honest with you. It's difficult. It's sensitive and difficult for me to talk about that topic. But we need to be open about what is in the Word of God and how it progressed to that point so that we can learn from it and save ourselves. And if you're someone this morning that needs to respond to the gospel or come back in some way or make some change or some better choice, we would encourage you to do that. Why won't you come as we stand and as we sing, let your needs be made known.